Good morning. Good to see you all. Your bright, smiling, shiny faces on this feels like a fall day out there, almost. It's weird when you wake up on May the 4th and you have to get up and turn the heat on because it's 63 degrees in the living room, and then you go out the door and you got to put on a top coat. I thought maybe I was getting thin in the skin, but I realize it's cold. So, but Jesus is alive. Our names are in the book of life. That's what matters right there. And we're heaven bound. And we're here to have a good time of fellowship together. So as we get ready to open God's Word, I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. This is probably a passage you're very familiar with. We've studied about this guy all of our lives. Zacchaeus, come down. So as you get to Luke 19, I'd like to ask you to stand as I read from God's Word, please. Luke 19, 1 through 10. He entered Jericho and was passing through, and this is talking about Jesus, and there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was and was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead, climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house. And he hurried and came down and received him gladly. When they saw it, they all began to grumble, saying, he has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we ask and pray today, God, the Lord, as Jesus passes our way this morning, that if there's somebody who doesn't have him in their heart and life, we pray, dear God, this morning, that as Jesus speaks to hearts, that people will respond to his voice, that they will get saved today. Or if there's somebody who has not been living their life as a Christian and they need to rededicate their life and repent of their sins, then God, we pray today that Jesus, as he speaks to their hearts, that they will respond as well. And Lord, we thank you now for the reading of this powerful word, and let it transform and change us. And we ask, Father, as I preach this message, that God, every word would come from you through your Holy Spirit, and we give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. It's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. I want to ask you this morning, what happens when a man who is so despised by everyone around him decides to seek after Jesus? And that's exactly what happened to Zacchaeus. And as it turns out, he was exactly the type of person that Jesus was interested in. Now, you probably have sang that song when you were a kid in church. Does anybody remember it? Yeah. Zacchaeus. I'm not going to sing it. I don't want to ruin your hearing this morning. But Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. See, Patty's got them down. See, she's got it. I like that. And as a kid, I loved singing that song because I always loved to hear the story of Zacchaeus. But I want to look at this story and how it relates to us today. So here's Zacchaeus, a little guy. He's a chief tax collector. Basically, he's labeled a crook. And why was he labeled a crook? Because Zacchaeus took way more. He took more from people than what they actually owed. And he was a very rich man. So it's basically robbing from the poor to make himself even richer. And he was despised by every person that was around him. I'm sure that he was the kind of guy that when he got into a crowd, the people just, you know, dispersed and went other places because they didn't even want to look at his face. How many of you know somebody that you despised, somebody that you didn't like for some reason, and when they got around, you just parted their company really quick? Now, I'll be honest. When I was a young preacher, I would go up to some folks and say, "Well, good morning, how are you today?" And that was always the wrong question to ask, because when I heard, "Well, preacher," I knew I was going to get my ear loaded. And I knew that I just better turn around and be real Christian-like and say, "Well, Jesus, you know, God bless you and Jesus be with you. I'm going to go to the pulpit now." So, but anyway, there's always been somebody that would come along that we despised, somebody that we just didn't want to partake of. But Jesus, he's coming along, and Jesus, I already told you this before, Jesus knew who he was already after before that person realized he was coming for them. But Zacchaeus heard that Jesus was coming, and I guarantee you that Zacchaeus heard about the life-changing power that Jesus, only he possesses. And Zacchaeus, I guarantee you, was filled with a curiosity. A little short man. Now, the Bible doesn't say what his height was, just said he was small in stature. And in the song, a wee little man. So maybe he was 4'5", we don't know. But anyway, there was such a crowd of people, and that's what I'm always amazed at. No matter where Jesus went, there was always a crowd of people thronging around him because he was very well received in many places because of people's love for him. And so Zacchaeus, he couldn't see up above because of all the people. And so he thought, "Well, I'll get up in that tree and I'll get a good look at Jesus." And I wonder how many of us were like that once in our life. We were dead in our sins. We were caught up in our trespasses. And when we heard about Jesus, we knew that time came in our life that we wanted to know more, and we would do whatever it took to know Jesus on a more personal level. And when we received Jesus Christ, what he done in our hearts and lives. So Jesus gets into town, and you know, this is exciting. Jesus, he's not really concerned with anybody else that's around him, but he knew that he was there to receive Zacchaeus that day. And here's what I want you to notice. When Jesus came out and personally called Zacchaeus down out of the sycamore tree, now Zacchaeus did not stay up there and he didn't have a debate. "Well, should I go down or should I stay up here? You know, do I want to get close to him or do I want to be far away? Do I want my life changed or do I want to stay the way that I am?" Well, we see clearly that Zacchaeus immediately, because of Jesus' power, it was already starting to affect his heart and his life. And he quickly came down out of the sycamore tree and he went right to Jesus. And here's what I'm believing. I am believing that the moment Jesus called out to Zacchaeus, I believe that Zacchaeus had already at that point had received Christ into his life and believed on the Lord, because when Zacchaeus got down before Jesus, as we read in Scripture, He said, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. Now, had Zacchaeus ever done that in the past? I don't think so. But some things I want to point out here before I get more into Zacchaeus was the people that were all around. They see Jesus pay attention to a sinner, to a crook. And all the people started to murmur and complain. And they're like, well, Jesus is going to sit down and eat with the sinner. What is his problem? Why would he actually go and be with somebody who's taking advantage of us? Well, if you look back, Jesus did not come to this earth to save the righteous. Who did Jesus come for? Jesus came to seek those who were lost and dying in their sin. Jesus dealt through his ministry. He dealt with many sinners. He was with a woman at the well who had committed adultery. And when those men came and started to persecute her for her sin, Jesus took his finger and was just kind of drawing on the ground. I don't know what he was doing, but then Jesus said to her accusers, well, the first one of you without sin, let him cast the first stone. And what happened? All the people, all those men disappeared. And Jesus told the woman at the well, he said, where are your accusers now? And he says, I don't even condemn you. And that's what I know Jesus probably was feeling in his heart towards Zacchaeus. He was not condemning Zacchaeus, but here's what he looked at. He didn't see a criminal. When Jesus looked at Zacchaeus, he saw the heart. What he saw was the transformed life. See, Jesus sees completely through each and every one of our hearts. When you and I were sinners, he didn't judge us. He didn't put us down. He didn't call out our sins before us. Jesus just simply knocked on our heart's door and said, I died for you. I love you. I want to come in and I want to have fellowship with you. That's his whole desire. Jesus wants to give us a love that we had never known before. And once we receive that love, it transforms our life and makes our life so much better. Makes our life so much more peaceful. Doesn't mean that we're going to have days without trials and tribulations. It just means that we will have a blessed life. We've got somebody that we can always turn to in prayer. So, Jesus is going to the house of a sinner, and because Zacchaeus stepped forward and said to Jesus, I give back half of the possessions that I give to the poor. And he says, if I defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much. Isn't that amazing? So get this. Zacchaeus robbed people, took way more than they owed, but now he's going to give back four times more than what he took. And if he defrauded anybody, he's going to make it right. So what happened here? Jesus dealt with a sinner's heart. The sinner had come to salvation because Jesus told Zacchaeus, today salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham. So I want you to think about your life for a moment. What were you like before Christ? How do you think people may have labeled you? How did you treat others? Now, when Jesus came into your heart and life, what difference was made? How did you grow? How did things change? Did you start to find yourself to love others more abundantly than you did before? Did you forgive people who had done wrong to you? See, sadly, there's a lot of people who get saved, but a lot of them, I think, have just made through the motions and got they because they wanted to get their what I call their fire insurance. They don't want to go to hell, but they also they don't want to really live for the Lord either. And I've said this before, and I'm not judging, but because Jesus said, if you don't obey His commandments, if you don't follow His word, you're not going to heaven. If you continue to sin, you will not make it into God's glory. It's right in the Word. But those who have been touched and those who have been transformed by the love of the Lord, those who obey His Word, those who work for the Lord, when they pass and they get on into heaven, they're going to hear, welcome, and come into the joy of the Lord. They'll spend all of eternity in heaven. So the evidence is already seen in Zacchaeus' life. He's given back everything. And I'm sure he was making apologies to people and asking for forgiveness. And in the same way, when we've gotten saved, we may have done wrong to somebody, and we've probably gone and asked them for forgiveness, and we wanted to make things right. And maybe people didn't receive us very well at first, but we always have to remember that we've got to let the Lord take care of the hearts of those people around us, because we can't do anything about it. Now, I pick on Eugene and Corrine every Sunday. You know, I tell Eugene, now you'll be nice to Corrine. And Corrine, you be nice to you. Quit picking on him. You know, we just kid around. But I know they love each other. They're brother and sister. And I know Corrine loves Milton, even though she gives him a hard time. What was I telling? I was telling John this morning. I said marriage is. I said, you know, he said something about when he was young in his 20s, he was probably still saluting. I said, do you know what the military and married life have in common? You go from saying yes sir, no sir, to yes ma'am, no ma'am. So anyway, I know that you know Milton and Corrine have a love. And it's the love of the Lord at work in their life. I'm sure they've experienced a lot of hardships. They've experienced a lot of times of trial. But you know what they've done? I believe they've prayed together and they've stayed together. They've trusted the Lord to be their light and to be their salvation, to be their deliverer, to be their conqueror, to be the strength in their life that they need to live from day to day. Zacchaeus was a seeker. Even though he was rich and he was despised by the people all around, he was seeking the Lord. How many of us are seeking the Lord today? How many of us are seeking the Lord? I really want you to examine your heart. And don't think of somebody else. Well, I wish, well, maybe that person needs. No, look at your heart, your heart. Am I seeking the Lord? Am I really living for Him? Do my words that I speak, do my actions reflect the love that I proclaim? Because if Zacchaeus was transformed and all of a sudden he's making everything right, you know, that to me is a sign that somebody's been changed. Are we asking God to change us daily? Are we challenging God to... Well, not are we challenging ourselves? Let me say it this way. Are we challenging ourselves to do better by living for the Lord? Are we asking God to get us out of our comfort zone? Or are we asking God to allow us to witness to other people, to love, to go and do things that maybe feel uncomfortable to us? I remember before when I was young, somebody would say, well, why don't you go pray for them? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't really feel comfortable doing that. Well, you know what? It didn't feel comfortable for Jesus to go to the cross because He would rather the angels came. He could have called them and they could have got Him off the cross. He didn't want to have to face because He was praying in the garden, Father, if it be Thy will, let this cup pass for me. But He also said, not My will be done, but Thy will be done. He faced an uncomfortable time and He still went ahead and let them kill him on a cross, but he rose again, which we just been celebrating, the resurrection of Jesus. But how many of us will say, God, I want you to do something, do a work in me. It might feel uncomfortable. It might be strange. But I know, God, that you will equip me with what I need to get the job done. If God, I remember this thing I saw at Kirkland's one time, a big sign, a bit real pretty thing on a wall. It said, if God brings you to it, he will get you through it. And I've always trusted God to get me through everything in life. And Jesus, I want you to get this locked in your thoughts. Jesus is very much aware of who is seeking him. Jesus looked up and saw Zacchaeus because Jesus noticed Zacchaeus. Now I want you to get that in your mind too. And I want you to tell yourself, Jesus noticed me. At my worst, he looked at me and he saw the possibility. He saw the transformed child. He saw beyond my sin. He looked at me with love. He compassionately approached me and he took me in. Here I am, dirty and I'm unclean. I'm filthy. My sins are just filthy rags. I'm not a righteous person, but yet compassionately he pulled me to him and drew me in and he put his arms around me and he came into my heart and life. And all that used to be dark, he brought his light. And now that he's brought his light into my life, then hallelujah, I've been changed. And that ought to give us enough reason to rejoice right there and to give him praise and honor and glory. That Jesus noticed us. He noticed us. And that's, I tell you what, you can't get better than that. I remember being in high school, I had my eye on this one girl named Misty. And boy, she was the cutest thing in our school. Oh my goodness. Every time I got around her, I became the most nervous mess. I couldn't get my tongue to quit tripping over my teeth. I couldn't hardly get words out, and my heart would just pitter-patter. And I was in love. I thought I was. And every time I got around her, man, I couldn't hardly speak. And anyway, well, I done forgot what I was at now. Maybe I ain't supposed to go that far. Anyway, Jesus is seeking us. And we should seek him every day. We really should. We should seek Jesus on every need. We should seek him at every level in our life. We should be pouring our hearts out before God. And we should be saying, Father, this is what I'm facing today. And it may not be a good situation, or maybe it is a good situation, but Lord, I want to take you by the hand, and Lord, I want to walk with you in faith because I know you've brought me this far and you've never let me down. And I know, dear God, that to the very end of life, that you'll always be with me right to the end. You know, this morning while I was up at the hospital visiting, you know, and this always comes to my mind every time I visit a precious, precious saint of the Lord. Now, even last Sunday, I was sitting at Gene and Joy's in the living room and Lee was there. And boy, we were having such good fellowship. And I mean, Gene just started just recalling things and how good God's been to him. And he said, you know, we sure miss being at church. We really do. We miss everybody. And I said, well, Gene, we really miss you. And you know, then it really hit me. There is going to be a time that comes when the ones we love dearly won't be here. But how many times have we gone out of the way to go and minister to them? You know, sometimes my life gets busy and I don't get to really get to be there right on time, or I can't make it for everything. But to listen, to stand there in the hospital though this morning and look at that precious man, all of a sudden it started coming back to me how good God has been to Gene Sanders. Because Gene himself told me God has always been good. God has always been loving to me. And He's always met all of our needs. You know, and that right there speaks a lot of volume. How many of us are willing, now that we're saved, how many of us are willing to go to the lost? How many people do we know right now, maybe a family member or somebody, we an acquaintance or a friend that doesn't know Jesus, how many of us have gone to them and spoken up and said, have you ever received Christ as your Lord and Savior? Let me share with you. Because you know what? Sometimes we may be the only Bible that some people ever read because they're looking at our life. And that's been the great commission that Christ gave to us. Go into the world and make fishers of men. Preach the gospel. Baptize people in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Bring people into the fellowship of the church. See, now Jesus is a friend to all sinners. The critics attacked Jesus for caring about someone like Zacchaeus. How many of us ever condemn because we know of a Christian who went and talked to somebody who maybe wasn't in our class, as we would call it? Isn't it funny how the judgments come rolling out? The Bible talks about the tongue. The tongue is small, but it's mighty. Did you realize that the tongue is the most destructive part of your human body? It is. Because see, the Bible also says, and with this tongue we will praise the Lord another time, and then we cut down others. We curse them. And that's truth. That's truth. I know because I hear it. And boy, sometimes I'd like to glue somebody's lips together or say, I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus, because it's the devil on them. But that tongue is a mighty little weapon. It's powerful. It'll build people up and then it'll tear people down. And what did Jesus tell us to do with others? Jesus told us to love one another. I would really like to put the challenge out and say, I want someone to go and look in the Bible and find where Jesus said for the Christians to tear each other down and be judgmental. I want someone to find that, because number one, you ain't gonna find it, because Jesus said, love one another. Love one another. Have fellowship with one another. You know, I've said this before. I don't care what nationality somebody, where, what country they come from. I don't care what side of town they come from. I don't care where they come, who they are. You know what? I've been commanded by the Lord to love them, and that's what I'm going to do. That's my goal in life. Because when I get to heaven, I want to hear Jesus say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. I want to hear that so desperately. And I know that one day when I lay down my cross, I'm going to receive a crown. But you know what? I'm not worthy to receive anything even in heaven, because I would take it all and put it before Jesus' feet, because He's the one who's worthy. He's the one who died. He's the one who made all things possible. Now, if He went seeking Zacchaeus and Zacchaeus got saved and his life was changed, and He came seeking after me and He called out my name and my life was changed and your life was changed, then what do you think we should be doing from here? Helping to change the lives of other people. That's our calling. Jesus is not only a friend to sinners, He's a friend to everybody. Zacchaeus' heart was changed. Your heart was changed. Let's be the kind of Christians that helps change the hearts of other people that are around us. That should be our heartfelt prayer to the Lord. Change me, Father. And if you've been living a life that's totally different from God's Word, I'm going to say this. If you ain't walking with the Lord, well, that's between you and Him. The Lord's going to judge you, not me, not anybody else in this building. But if you ain't been living right and you ain't walking with the Lord, well, you're going to deal with Him. And if you're not obeying the commandments, then there's a problem with the heart. But if you come to Jesus and truly give your heart, He can change your heart. And I'll say this, you might have had a bad childhood. You might have been at some point a bad marriage, bad relationship somewhere. Something, bad things have happened to everybody. Now, I've told you this. I wasn't raised in a good situation at home. My parents were, I love my mom and I love my dad, but I couldn't figure out why they treat me like, why do they treat their kids the way they did. I couldn't figure it out. But you know, when my daddy came to me 4 months before he died, my dad was crying and said, "Son, please forgive me. I'm so sorry for..." All the thing I could do was wrap my arms around him and say, "Dad, I love you and I forgive you." What more could I do? That's all I could do is give him the love of the Lord. I tell you what, that was a profound moment in my life. So if you're not living for the Lord, today's your day.